Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
The next steps that you take are going to be the best steps that you've ever taken. Because we're really going to, there's going to be we're going to calculate this. There's going to be a strategy to this. It's not going to be routine. And because you think about your best steps up to this point, your next one's going to be better. Man, it's going to, your life is going to be so rich. And that's what God's promised you. You know, I love it when I find in the Word, when I find places in the Word that completely fit their analogies and mirror exactly what most life is about. You know why? Because it's like, oh my gosh, it's evident. Okay, here, show me the answer. That's what so many of the parables, so many of the stories, so many of the Old Testament stories are just here. Look, here's the steps to take to walk out of the situation that you're in that's similar to this. The last step that you took is going to factor into these next steps too. So if the last steps that you took were really honestly in sin, or digging a deeper hole in your life, you know, your next step might be to stop digging. and then maybe to get on the right track. And then the next steps from there are the dynamic steps of your life. Man, the steps where it's not routine anymore. We're not just maintaining tasks anymore. The Christian life is not maintaining tasks. Okay, please understand. It can never be run of the mill. It can't be a place, and I'll tell you, a church of this size, and you come to certain services, if you sit in a certain place, you may never have any interaction or not know any of the people on the other side of the sanctuary. Well, you know what? It's important for you to branch out and set out and change the routine and break that up a little bit. And I'll tell you why. Because the direction of your life is what determines the protection that's over your life. The direction of your life determines the promotion of your life. The direction of your life produces peace in your life. See, you think about this, direction is so huge. And you know what? What we want to do is we want to set our mark on the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Man, that the direction of our life, the steps that we take. I'm going to go a familiar place today in Judges, the 6th chapter. And I'm really glad that you're here. Judges, the 6th chapter, it's going to lead into Gideon. And we've all heard messages about Gideon. You're all aware of Gideon. And there's a few things I'm going to bring out that maybe you haven't heard before. Maybe it'll stir things up in you. And I believe that this is going to be life-giving to you and therefore life-changing for you. God, I thank you now for your word. God, I thank you for the life that you've given us, that we live our life in your word. God, help us see our lives in this word today. And God, I thank you that it's going to help determine our direction. It's going to help determine the next steps that we take. And I proclaim today that every person in this room, their next steps will be their best steps in Jesus' name. And everybody said? Amen. Judges, the 6th chapter in the 1st verse. So let me just tell you something. If you wake up at 4:30 in the morning and pass out and hit your head and knock yourself out, It would behoove you to live next door to Sarah Tucker. You call Sarah Tucker, it's going to work out. And I appreciate Sarah Tucker and Sky Took this morning. Judges 6, verse 1. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Okay, stop right here. You're going to hear a lot of explaining, a lot of excuses, a lot of manipulation of situations in the next dozen verses. But listen, this hits a nail on the head. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, okay? That's our template. So the Lord delivered them in the hand of Midian for 7 years, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. The children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which were on the mountains they were hiding. So it was when Israel had sown, Midianites would come up. Also, Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. They would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because the Midianites and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. This might be your life. You might be a child of God. You might have experienced God's hand in your life. But somehow, every time you sow, man, the enemy comes in as many, it's like locusts come in and ravish your life. I mean, that may be your life right now. It may be what you've been going through. You know, and here you are, and you look at it and you think, well, I don't think I did evil in the sight of the Lord. Let me just tell you, man, you can retrace your steps and you can find that place where it's like, wait a second, here's where I got off track. Here's where I made a decision that didn't honor God, that was completely selfish. And let's keep going to verse 7. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, who said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Don't fear the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. Okay, now the story's going to transition, and Gideon's going to come into the picture. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under an oak tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the I want to say a Abizrite, but I'm sure some of you Hebrew scholars in here are going to correct me. While his son, listen, Gideon, threshed wheat in the wine press in order to hide from the Midianites. I went to high school in Warrenton, Missouri. It was a lot of farm boys and rural agriculture sodbusters that I went to school with. And in the summer, you could make money, and a lot of times you could make cash, quick money. You could just work for a day and get paid at the end of that day. Sometimes they'd feed you, but we'd buck hay. We'd throw hay bales and barley and all kinds of other things. And let me tell you about that, about threshing. Okay, threshing is dusty and dirty. Like you get three or four times in the day, you have to blow your nose, and it's remarkable what comes out of your nose when you're bucking bales like that, okay? It's dirty work. So here's Gideon in a wine press. He's in a room that's cut into the earth. And so he's threshing wheat. It's got to be the dirtiest experience that you've ever imagined, because it's not going to be released. A wine press is not designed to thresh wheat. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. See, I think that happens to so many people that come into our services. Man, we try to be encouraging. We try to be uplifting, motivating, inspiring. And here's what the word says about you. Here's what God's heart is for you. But you'll look at it and think, no, you know what? That's not me. You don't get it. I'm hiding. I've been hiding out for years. I've got the Midianites that come in, and man, if they even took notice of us threshing this wheat here, they would come and destroy it. See, that's why I'm hiding where I'm hiding. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing, where I'm doing it. And then the angel of the Lord comes to him, and he encourages him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. 2 points here that I believe in the next step of your life. Number one, God is pursuing you. You're not pursuing. You don't have to. It's not. The point is not you pursuing him. Is that he's pursuing you. And God identified who Gideon is. See, we want to tell everybody, look, you got to be pursuing God. But if you're threshing wheat in a wine press, hiding out because the enemy's been destroying your produce and your people for so long, even after the Lord had delivered you out of Egypt and out of bondage, and it's well within your history. You look at your life and you realize, I don't know how to serve. I don't know how to pursue God from here. I don't know how to get to God from here. My hope is gone. Well, God pursued Gideon, and God identified who Gideon is. Completely different than who Gideon felt like he was. So in verse 13, Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, is the Lord with us? Why then has all this happened to us? Does this sound familiar? And where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?'" Where are these miracles? Where is this healing? Where is this prosperity? Where is this deliverance? "But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." See, Israel had turned to idolatry. And here is the key point. They turned to idolatry and drifted from God. See, it's just a little bit of a drift that Israel turned from God. God didn't turn from Israel. And see, that's what people have to realize. That's what you have to realize today. God's not turning from you. But see, any bit of idolatry, anything that you put in a place in your life that only is that honored place that where God belongs, it becomes idolatry. Whether it's money, whether it's a person, whether it's a vocation, a position. Let me tell you, man, there's people that make attention their idol. They need so much attention. And you know what? I look at it in my life that those things all might have factored in my life at some point or another. And you know what? The longer you stay there with that idol operating in your life and that place that only God should be, you begin to drift. And you know what's funny about a drift is you don't realize how far you've gone. You know, if you've ever been in a boat, you've ever been fishing, and you realize, oh my gosh, we stopped over there and we've already drifted over here and didn't realize we even had moved. That may be how it's happening in your life. That drift may be happening. Now we go back to Judges 6 at verse 14. "Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours.'" See, Gideon's feelings, Gideon's perspective didn't come into play at all with God. "Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?'" A key point here that you write down: the gifting that God has put in your life, he'll never pull out. The gifts and call of God are without repentance. And listen, nothing you've ever done is going to cause God to pull his hand out of your life in that respect. I'm just telling you, there's a concern for you to, I think, as we as Christians, we as men and women of the church, that we love the church, and man, we love serving God in the church, that I think that our busyness and those and the task and those kind of things sometimes get in the way, and we end up not fulfilling God's purpose because we're just doing a bunch of stuff. And I believe there's even a drift in that. What God has deposited you, it stays there. God's deposited a gifting on the inside of you that's different than mine, that has to be worked out, that has to be understood. But you need wisdom from God to be able to understand the gifting that he's put in your life, man, the call that he's set before you. And because God uses us to save other people from their bondage. That's what God said to Gideon right here. Man, you're going to save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. So he said to him, "Oh, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house." I mean, all he's doing, he's pulling out the deck of excuses, and all he's doing, he's just flipping over victim cards, and he's playing all these victim cards. Here's why I can't do this. I can't do it. I'm Hispanic. I can't do it. I'm a widow. I can't do it. I've been divorced. I can't do it. Man, I've got so much history. I can't do it. I've messed up so many times. Verse 16, the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." Man, you think about how there's so many people that you think that I can't get through this. I need help. I've got to go see somebody. I need somebody to talk me off this ledge. Let me tell you what you have to do. You have to step back inside the window and get back in the house. That's how you get off of that ledge. Man, you know the difference between right and wrong. You know when you're in God's will and when you're not in God's will. There's a peace in your life in the will of God. There's a peace in your life when you're on track. There's a peace in your life when that's what guides us in life is we're led by peace. See, that's what we have to understand. Man, we're not led by signs, we're not led by fleeces. Well, if it rains today, then I know that this is right. God, show me a sign. No, that's all old covenant stuff. That's Old Testament stuff. A fleece is not faith. We don't fleece God. And we trust his word. See, by fleecing God, that's saying, God, your word is not enough. God, I need something extra that's not in your word to lead and guide me. And that's not how God does it. God takes counsel in his word. And I understand it sounds like faith. It really does. A fleece sounds like it's faith, like you're trusting God. But you know what? It's the opposite of faith. You have to see it. You have to have it in your hands before you believe it. No, you know what? Man, you see it because you believe it. It starts in your heart. God builds his word. See, his word is not designed. God's word's not designed for your search, for your situation, your circumstances. Your word's designed for your heart, to develop your heart. See, so now you look at the situations and the circumstances that you have in life, and you're thinking, God, why aren't you taking care of this? And what God wants to do is take care of this. This is what God bought into. The rest of the stuff in this world, you're gonna have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Jesus said, I didn't come to make you comfortable. I came to give you a sword. See, what God wants to do is, I think that we as people, we want to laterally get out of things, peripherally get out of things. God wants to lift us up out of things. See, we can't lift ourselves up. What we want to do is we want to find that adjacent door to the room that we're in to be able to get out. And see, that's not what God does. See, what God is, listen, God's the lifter of our head. Man, if you lift your head and open your eyes, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see the glory of the Lord. You know what you're going to see? Why? Because of the work God's done in your heart. See, we see the world differently than the world sees the world. See, we see the world. We see the world. We have to see it as opportunity. People are in bondage. Man, the world sees it like it's going to hell in a handbasket. We see it as opportunity. See, the world's crippled. Man, the world sees it as, man, we can't function. It's like, oh no, you know what? What do we see it? Rise and walk. Be delivered from your dysfunction. See, what God did with Gideon, what he wants to do with you, I can assure you that the next step of your life could be the best step. Is because what God wants to do is three things. Number one, he wants to correct your identity. He wants to transform your identity to where you see yourself as a child of the king. Remember when Gideon said, oh my gosh, man, I'm down here hiding. The Midianites are destroying everything that we're trying to produce. I could never get ahead. Man, if I had you raise your hand, man, you guys at SkyTech, if I had you raise your hand, man, if you feel like you could never get ahead, man, we'd all be raising our hands because that's what it looks like with our natural eyes. That's how the whole world sees life, is we can't get ahead. This problem is way too big. Man, I talk to politicians and I'll say, hey, how about this? And they'll say, it's not that easy. You guys heard that answer before? It's not that easy. You don't get it. It's much more complicated than that. And I'll tell you what I appreciate about God working in my life is I know an aspect, a part of the gifting that's in my life is to simplify things, is to just boil things down to the simplest form. So you know what? A simple fellow like me, it's easy for me to navigate now. There isn't a ton of things in my life that are complex. It's all, oh my gosh. You know the 6 degrees of separation? That's not true in my life. Anytime that there's 2 degrees of separation, it bothers me. Why? I boil it down to the simplest form. So what do we have to do? We've got to look at things the way God's word looks at them. We've got to look at ourselves the way God, what God calls us, that's who we have to call ourselves. What we have to be around people that see life that way, that see life through the lens of faith and not through the lens of the fleece, not through signs, not through, it's like, I knew I was supposed to go to church here because, man, and it's like, wait a second. We have to be led by our peace. It's the peace of God, listen, that's beyond our understanding and that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. See, and we're looking at it going, oh my gosh, we're tardy. Oh my gosh, we're late. Oh, I expected it to happen by this date. I remember a family, one of the closest people in the world to me. They said, you know what? I'm believing God for this to happen by this date. And as soon as they said it, I had this monster check in my heart. And I knew he was going to be disappointed. I knew it. And you know what? That disappointment affected his walk with God. And I promise you, you go back through the lives of the children of Israel, I'm telling you, that low-level disappointment, man, began to escalate in their life where it was with Gideon, and there was no hope. Man, your identity has to be transformed. See, the sovereign will of God in your life is to be transformed into the image of his son. And the only way to do that is for the word to be operative in your life. See, you have to put God's word. You know that place that you put money and that place you put attention and that place you put fame and that place you put success and that place that you put, you know, that high level stuff? You got to put God's word there and clear the rest of it out. Now, we put God's promise there. Man, if you're going to live by money, it's going to go like this. If you're going to live by faith, it's going to go like this. And it doesn't matter what happens in the world. It doesn't matter who gets elected. Man, please, I beg you, I'm pleading with you, don't get caught up in the election. Don't do it. Because let me tell you something, it's all about ratings, it's all about media. If it bleeds, it leads. And you know what? They need stories in this election that bleeds. It's like all these little controversies, all these little things, and we get all caught up in it. It's all kinds of name calling. It's all kinds of backbiting. It's all kinds of backroom deals. And here we are. Listen, children of the Most High God that dip down to civilian affairs. My government, the government I live on, that I live by, that I live in, is on the shoulders of Jesus. The word's real clear about that. The rest of this stuff, man, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna pray for them. I'm gonna honor them. You know why? We're honorable. So it starts with our identity, who I am in Christ. And then it goes, and then here's the huge one. And it's not about tasks. It's about helping people with decisions and helping them with their problems. It's all decision-making and problem-solving. That's what life is. But it's our availability. How truly available are you to God? Are you available? People are asking me that all the time. I'll get 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 request to meet. Can you have lunch? Can you have coffee? Can you meet? Are you all they're asking? Are you available? That's what people are asking. Are you available? So I look at it and think, wait a second. That's God's heart. Am I available to him? And then the big one. And this is every day there's a surrender. See, my salvation took and it worked because there was a surrender involved in it. See, here, Gideon, if we go to Judges, the seventh chapter, verse 16, then he divided the 300 men into, remember, he had thousands. And God said, no, it's too many. You're gonna beat those enemy armies, and I'm not gonna get any credit or glory from it. Let's pare it down. And finally, they pared it down to 300 men. Then he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet into every, listen to this, it's crazy. He put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers or jars and torches inside the pitchers. This was their weaponry to go to war. And he said to them, look at me and do likewise. Watch, and when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle of the watch, just as they had posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the three companies, the other 200 men that were outside of that 100-man company blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their hands and the trumpets in their right hands for the blowing, and they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Verse 21, and every man stood in his place all around the camp, and that's the key. That's your availability right there. Some of you guys, you're thinking it's just going to be luck that you're here today. Or maybe it's just your routine. And others of you, I believe this is the providence of God that you're here today. I believe that what you're hearing today is going to set up next steps in your life that are going to be the best steps that you've ever taken. Every man took his position all around the camp, and the whole army ran and cried and fled. When the 300 blew the trumpets, listen, the Lord set all their enemies' sword against their own companions throughout the whole camp. And the army fled to Beth Acacia towards Zerara as far as the border by Tabith. And the men of Israel gathered together and pursued the Midianites. They went after them. God pursued Gideon. Gideon pursued his enemies and ran them out. Listen, they came to him, and here's the plan. We're going to split up into three companies of 100. We're going to encircle the Midianite camp. When you see us blow our trumpets, you begin to blow your trumpets, and then you shout, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Yet there were no swords. What the Midianites do? They began to kill each other. There was so much confusion. They didn't know what to do with an enemy that was aggressive and came after them. That's how the devil is. You think about what you're dealing with. The only reason the devil can have any kind of play or win in your life is if you're passive. This is tremendously violent spiritually. We just don't see it. We see things in their natural form. Man, this election we're in, I believe, is tremendously spiritually violent. We just don't see it. We see it how the world, the media dictates us to see it. Understand, the name of Jesus is above all names. Man, Gideon then sent messengers all over that part of the world. Said, we got him on the run. You think about what could happen if we took hold of this. Just in our three services today, our two services in Skytook, our service in Sepulpa, if we as a people took hold of this, the name of the Lord is a high tower. The name of the Lord is our buckler and our shield. His word is our sword and our shield. Man, you think about this now. You think about the promise of God that's coming alive in your heart right now, in your life right now. Just because the word's being spoken over your life. And you know what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by God's word. You've been in that wine press threshing wheat? You don't belong there. You are just busy. Man, it's time for you to take action. It's time for you to look at your debt. and speak to it, speak life and victory over your debt, and then put an extra $10 or $20 on it. You know what? Your debt isn't going to know what to do. Oh my gosh, he's paying me down. What do I do now? And I'm telling you, the spirit that's behind that debt will take off running, and that debt won't have control of your life anymore. See, it's not the money that has control. It's the spirit attached to that money that has control. It's mammon that has control. Why is the tithe such a big deal in your life? Why do we promote the tithe? Do you really honestly believe it's fundraising? No, for real. Do you really believe this capital campaign is fundraising? I've gone over 23 years without doing it. I can live without it, trust me. But what is it? What is the tithe? What is this capital campaign? It's to break the back of the enemy in your life. How in the world, how can I make it on 90%? Let me tell you something. You didn't make up that argument or that excuse. It's been around for a long, long time. All you have to do is be obedient to it. See, let me just tell you. You not tithing is you in that wine press threshing wheat. That's all it is. It's that spirit of mammon hovering over your life. The spirit of the world that's on your finances that you just can't get ahead. Why? The Midianites are coming and they're destroying all the produce. I just can't get ahead. I don't know why. Man, I've had incredible paychecks, incredible months. I just can't get beyond this point. Why? Think about it. It's spiritual. Think about it. It has nothing to do with money. It has everything to do with your identity, your availability, and your surrender. That's what the tithe is. You don't understand. You understand the tithe? You don't give your tithe. You pay your tithe. You surrender your tithe. You bring it to God's house. That there's meat in our Father's house. Yeah, but, oh my gosh, what about meat in my house? I mean, I've heard every argument. And listen, none of them work. The only one works is that when the joy of the Lord comes into play, when we write that check or when we text that amount in and we say, God, I just thank you. It is an honor. This is an honor for me. This is honor that I'm giving today. And I promise you, you do it for a month, it'll get your attention. You do it for 6 months, it'll be cool. You do it for a year, it'll be amazing. You won't recognize your life in a year. But see, you've got to do it with the right heart. Everything starts here. Everything does. Man, it's clean hands and a pure heart. That's where a contrite spirit in me. God, without you, I can do nothing. But with you, I can get out of this wine press that I've been hiding in. And even though my family is the weakest and I'm the least in my family. No, what did the messenger of the Lord say? You man of valor. You're gonna deliver God's people from the bondage of their enemies. Do you understand? Just you getting free, how many people get free beyond you? See, that's the will of God. That's how this works. It's not about trendy church. It's not about pretty church. It's about let's get after it, church. Let's be aggressive, church. That's what the church really is. See, what's interesting is Jesus in Matthew 16, 18 says, I'll build my church. I'll build my church. And the gates of Hades won't prevail against it. That means what? That doesn't mean that we're sitting back waiting for God to do something. That means we're taking new ground. And taking new ground, the devil isn't going to want to give it up, so he's got gates. And we're thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to get through that gate? And you know what? A lot of times, most times in our life, the natural view of it, the worldly view of it, we see that gate. And when it comes into perspective, we look at that gate, we think, oh my gosh, I can't go any farther. That gate's there. And we stop. Rather than realizing the faith part of it is we get to that gate, it opens. The only way that gate opens is we get to it. See, how many times in your life have you talked yourself out of a step of faith or something incredible because it was too grandiose to fit into your head? It was too amazing. People say, hey, Shear, they've asked Sandy, is this what you saw 23 years ago when you started this? And you know what my response, what I want to say to people? You haven't seen anything yet. This is nothing. See, that's where we have to be. You haven't seen anything yet. This is nothing. What you're looking at now is paltry compared to where I'm going because I'm going to take some great steps. See, that's the will of God for you to have that kind of heart and that kind of vision. And it requires passion and it requires aggression. It's violent spiritually. It's violent. The social suffering that you're going to have to endure will be more than you think you can take. Who are my friends? And it's Friday night. What are we going to do? See, that's how the world thinks. That's not what God's word says. You know what God's word says? There's more with you than there are with them. Lift up your head, open your eyes. Understand the social part of it's all skin deep. People will come and go. God will remain. I want to release Skytook. God bless you guys. Proud of the Vinings. I want to minister to you for a minute. I'm late. I thought this would be a short message to you. I'm not kidding you. I looked at my notes and I thought, oh my gosh, we're going to get out early. I believe God wants to do something in our lives. If your routine, it becomes stagnant. It'll become, man, you can't, we're built for motion. That's why, listen, you want to know why God put emotion in man? It's because we're built for motion. And motion is what affects our emotion. So if you're just sitting back and you're passive and you're sedentary, you're gonna get flabby spiritually. It's just like your natural body, it's gotta be in motion. Your spirit man has to be in motion. You sit back, your emotions start dominating you. Man, you get up, you begin to profess God's word, speak God's word. Man, your emotions now are trying to catch up with you. It's like, oh my gosh. And then you look at Jonathan and his armor bearer, and Jonathan said, it just may be that God will work for us. Those two guys were walking up on a million Philistines, and they whipped them. You want to know what this capital campaign is? It's just us helping people get out of bondage. That's what it is. That's what we're sowing to. We're still just sowing to change lives. But everything we're doing is earmarked to get people out of the bondage that they're in. Anxiety and fear and depression, drugs and liquor, things that cripple people. And everything we're doing, it's, hey, rise and walk. God, we love you and we praise you. God, we thank you for, God, we thank you for this time with you. God, that a day here is worth 1,000 somewhere else. God, I thank you for your word. God, that doesn't just rest upon us, but God is active and works within us. God, your word is working in us right here and right now, making us stronger and bigger and God, I thank you for wisdom and understanding. God, that we hear your voice and another voice we don't follow. That Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives. Say that with me. Jesus Christ is Lord of my life and whom I trust. God, I give you my life today. God, I give you my heart today. God, I give you my pursuits today. And I thank you for the great life ahead of me. And God, the next steps of my life are going to be my best steps, and people are going to come out of bondage. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.